The Sentai Review, episode 142, Cars Broke Down, Turbo, part 3 review. Due to some situations that are taking place, we're back to old recording.
Old school.
Yep. It should still work. I don't see a reason. We did this for years, and it worked out just fine. Yeah. So I imagine it'll be fine. But just to let you know, that's the reason the episode is going to sound the way it's going to sound today, because we have to jump back in time while we're getting all our stuff situated.
Which, for anybody who watched the live stream, you know why our shit is being situated.
Yes. Speaking of jumping back in time, today we have to jump back to 1997. Sad year. A sad year.
So sad, I only have two notes for what we're about to talk about.
Because every accomplishment that 2007 brought us,
you left, so
Metal Gear,
two notes.
Final Fantasy VII.
Wow, that's a lot less than mine.
It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we accomplished in that year, because we had Power Rangers Turbo.
Metal Gear Solid came out in 98.
Nope. So we got space with Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Metal space.
Metal space.
I was also watching Gundam Wing and other good shit off of...
Gundam Wing would have been out by then.
Yeah, I was watching all of that off of Toonami, which is the reason why I remember the ending. When we get to the last couple of episodes, I was like, oh fuck, I remember this. And then the rest of it, I was like, I remember why I don't remember this.
I remember why I don't remember. Oh yes. My god, yes. So, Reploid Bill, William Bush.
Sub-level Saria.
Scott Action Jackson.
Shane McCree, Proto Guy.
Hey guys, I know you're about to get your podcast on, so I'll be quick. If at any time you feel like dropping your own opinion into what we're talking about, head on over to FandomNight.com and all of the contact information for every single one of our shows, including the one you're about to watch, is there. All right, guys, I'll leave you alone.
Okay, so here we are talking about Turbo.
Let's shift into Turbo.
No.
Sorry, my key. I dropped it. Can't touch tips.
Actually, the sad thing is, throughout most of these episodes, they don't even put their keys into their morphers.
Maybe if one of you long-arm motherfuckers would come over here and help move this barrel, we could fucking touch tips. But no, nobody wants to help.
I can't stand up for us to touch tips. Oh, you have
tips.
Oh, okay.
Listen, rookie, you got to earn the ability for us to help you move barrels.
Do I have to deal with all the dirty looks and shit from the other guys that were here before me while I get this put together?
Oh, you mean the actual experienced guys? Whereas literally my first note, we don't even have to get into the show. You're absolutely right. These guys are completely blind and stupid and hardcore inexperienced. Literally the first 5 fucking seconds. Hey, let's make a wish at this fucking public fountain. Okay. Oh, by the way, here are the bad guys who are fucking like 10 feet goddamn tall, 10 feet the fuck away from me.
Literally fishing out coins on the other side of the fountain and nobody fucking noticed them.
Listen, when you're wishing, you don't got time to pay attention to your surroundings, okay?
No shit.
Justin wants his daddy.
Anyway, it's Beware the Third Wish.
Yes, yeah, we are on Beware the Third Wish. That is our episode 1, that's 31. Are we already done with that, by the way? Suffice it to basically he wishes for his daddy. Doesn't his daddy finally come back? Not because of the wish, but because... Oh, one thing I will bring up.
Technically at the end of the next episode, because this is a two-parter.
There's one thing worth bringing up about this episode.
I was going to say, I got quite a few notes on this episode. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that surprises me, because these episodes suck a dick, so please.
Don't make me laugh, it hurts. I threw up my back and I don't know how. It hurts to do anything. Let's sit.
First, hey, the Blue Centurion returns. Oh, wait, he returns to become a bad guy. Never mind.
Okay, yeah, he comes back and then a wish is made on the coin that turns him into a bad guy. And by the way...
Are you kidding me?
You mean the second wish? Because the first wish was asked for
Hair.
Howard Elzar.
I'm still gonna stick to the idea.
Elgar's fucking hair was fucking amazing.
And for how long the kids kept thinking
that was amazing.
He had fucking wonderful locks.
I'm telling you, he was looking like Howard Stern from back in the day.
Dude.
But before we go any further, I will say that in terms of damn it, we were just fucking talking about this.
The Blue Centurion?
Blue Centurion. I still stick to the idea that because he's a cop, that explains why he's not there sometimes. I still am under the belief that there is a chance that there are certain times he has to ask for permission to do the things he's supposed to do. Because he's not a cop from Earth, and he is a cop, and he's held to a certain standard, and his jurisdiction has limits. There may be strange situations that come up that we're never privy to, that we never get to see, that explain why sometimes there's things going down and he does not come out with a Zord. Right. And you'll also notice that when his Zord comes out, this is because the Sentai was different than the American footage, but if we have to give credence to the American footage, he is often escorted by Earth policemen.
Yeah. Yep. Anytime his Zord comes out, you'll see smaller cop cars.
Which means that somehow, somewhere, some way, he's integrated into our earthly police system. He's an American cop in Angel Grove.
That's why he can give out parking tickets.
Yes. Yep. Now, what this means, however, is that it's the same idea as when a Chinese cop comes over to help us with an investigation. He has to be cleared on certain jurisdictions, and he still has to report to somebody on our field. Right. So there's possibly times when he has to get some sort of decree in order to be escorted by the police in order to bring that big giant Zord out and fight monsters in the middle of the city. Yeah. There may be legitimate reasons why he doesn't appear in certain episodes.
I like how you,
And yes,
I like how you use rush hour.
Kiss my ass.
I was like,
Kiss the dragon.
Yeah.
But speaking of the Sentai
he was in Paris.
That's okay. Yeah, same concept.
It's still the same concept.
You were more or less using rush hour.
No. You were thinking rush
that
hour.
That also comes down to rush hour,
but
it's
the same shit.
Yep.
But speaking of the Sentai footage, also during this episode, we see these, swords debuting.
You know, it was weird that they didn't even give us so much as a backhanded comment like, Rangers, new swords, why not? Because why?
Right.
Listen, man.
Look, they needed the swords because once again, evil Rangers have that ability to stab the ground and fucking spark wave and kill you.
It's true, they do. I don't know why. That's an evil ability.
Yeah.
And once we get to some evil Rangers.
Well, think about it. It's like in Star Wars. Evil uses electricity.
Yeah. Evil uses electricity is right. In Star Wars, the same concept.
You use electricity in Star Wars, you're automatically bad guy. Even if you're a good Jedi.
If you tap the ground and shoot weird smoky lines of death,
you're a bad guy.
You're a bad guy.
Yep.
But if you're a good guy, you can hurt a motherfucker's hands.
It's true.
Yep.
It's
bad.
You sure you throw shit at people? They fucking like, ah! It hurts so much that it causes them to flip.
And demorph.
Yeah.
It hurts them hands bad.
Dude, because of how that footage is cut, dude, that is the most awkward ass thing I've ever seen. Yeah. I'm like, did he get hit in the hands and flip?
He did. Yeah. Like, he drops his weapons and he's like, oh shit, he fucking flips onto the ground.
Yeah,
then after he hits the ground on his back, he rolls over onto his stomach and he can barely crawl and he demorphs.
Mm-hmm. I was like, Jason, you are the strongest motherfucker ever.
He's like, I'll straight fuck your hands up. He's like, I'll fuck around.
Mm-hmm. Well, thankfully we don't get that part with the Blue Centurion and TJ, but they do put up an interesting fight.
Yeah.
Well, I think TJ is a decent,
this also showcases what I've been talking about. Whatever this police officer thing is, he's stronger than our Rangers.
He's a robot. Yeah.
Even if you want to argue that they don't want to hurt him, that does not fucking matter. Any martial arts expert will tell you that if you are faced with an enemy and you don't wish to hurt them, you can do that.
Yep.
You can do that. And first off, he's a robot. So whether they don't want to hurt him or not, they know he's a robot. They can blast his arms and legs off and then heal him.
Yep.
True, but...
Or attempt to
heal him. You know how Power Rangers is, though. You know, they don't want to hurt you, you know. And to be fair, like, I know you're augmented, but the fact that the Blue Centurion is stronger makes you wonder, like, is that his full potential? Because he's fighting augmented people.
It might be this time. Because now that he's a, quote, bad guy,
he won't
this might
hold
be
back.
The first time we don't see him holding back. He was fighting Rangers.
Yeah.
And that just shows you how strong he is, because every Ranger...
But then again, at the same time...
They're holding back.
When he very first shows up, he beats all of our Rangers back when he was still a, quote, good guy. And he just thought that they were the bad guys, and they didn't even know who he was.
Yeah,
so they were fighting him just as hard as they would a monster, and he beat them.
He's stronger.
So he is legitimately more powerful than our Rangers.
Yeah.
This is some sort of weird cop system that if ever it needed to operate, it could close down the Rangers.
Well, he's from, isn't he from,
I don't think they ever tell us where he's actually from.
No, cause the Phantom Ranger, I think he came from Eltar or Aquitar or something
he
like that.
He came from Eltar. That's what they tell you.
Nope. They don't give us a point of origin for the Phantom Ranger.
Wait, it might have been that other mysterious guy that had that message a while back.
Yes.
For Diva.
There was a guy that came for Diva to,
Demetria.
Yeah, he's from Eltar.
But the cop, he's an intergalactic police officer, and I think that's the only information we were given.
Yeah.
Plus
at the same time, when you stop to think about it, the first time the Centurion fought him, that was the veteran team. Once again, these are
rookies. That's true.
Yeah.
That was the veteran team that he showed up to fight. He was fighting Tommy and them the first time, and he whooped them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Fuck. So TJ
was putting up a better fight.
Whatever this thing is, whatever the Centurion is, it's strong, and it's not a joke, and it was built for a reason, and we don't know what, but I'm telling you, the more I look at him, I think he's a freaking Manhunter.
Yeah.
I think he's right out of the Green Lantern Corps. He's what came before the Lanterns. He is the robotic sentry that policed the universe. He's a Manhunter.
Those are dangerous, though.
And they're dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, they've been known to thwart the Green Lanterns at times, and here we are in a universe where I've often been able to reference there's a strange connection between Lanterns and Rangers, which another one I missed. I can't believe I missed it. When you're a Green Lantern, you wear the ring. It's different for every single person. Same ring, every single person uses it differently and has different powers under the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Do you notice that when the powers shifted to these new guys, their morphing changed?
Yeah.
It didn't just change like when we got new guys in the past where it was they still held out the morpher and they just said the same thing. Everything about their powers changed.
Yep.
When Tommy and them change, they had to say their car's name.
Yep.
And then they had a really awful CGI effect with their helmet and their CGI face.
It would go ting 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 ting. It would like build around the
actually
head. Now they actually do this thing.
Yep, and I prefer it.
Yeah.
I actually like TJ and them's morphing over Tommy and theirs.
I do too, and it's interesting that it's different. Because it bleeds into the
idea
that there's something
you know what's weird
about these guys.
What's weird is, though, is that Justin, who was morphing with Tommy and them, he didn't switch powers. His powers are the same. But yet this morphing
but
changed.
Because the connection to the grid has somehow altered.
So he still grew up, but the lightning just got added or something.
Yeah.
We also learned something about Justin as we go through these episodes, too. Keep going.
Yeah.
What do you got next?
Hold on. Let me see where it was.
Centurion's bad guy. Oh wait,
Elgar has fantastic hair.
He does. Beautiful flowing
locks. He would have had a fucking mustache. He'd been the greatest character.
there's an actual yokai.
There is something I noticed about Demetria. When she first came in, she became the question lady.
Yes.
Now, not so much.
No.
Well, there's actually a reason for this. Remember when I said that if I had to find a way to retcon her, instead of saying she came from a society that can only ask questions, which is impossible. That they could advance if that was literally how their species worked. They could not make it as far as they've made it if the only thing they could do is ever ask questions and never come up with a real answer. Because they'd be like, how does one eat? Why must one eat? Oh, we're starving.
Yeah, because
would you like food? I don't know. What would you like?
This was actually starting
during our
previous part. It was actually starting where she wasn't really asking questions to the Rangers.
And if we had to say why, I'll explain it like this. Spend enough time in Japan, speak Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what's happening here. She is living amongst humans. And her broad spectrum of contact comes from watching events that are happening on Angel Grove through things like the news and whatnot, an accumulation of knowledge through the culture of these children that are talking to her. And even though her society is very, I think that her society is undergoing a philosophical uprising where that's the way they are. They want to question things and invent themselves and move their society forward and learn and expand on a spiritual level. I think that she being associated with these kids, she's starting to figure out that doesn't work here. Yeah. She needs to be a little more direct. She needs to speak to them.
Yeah, instead of just Sinister Alpha.
I can't remember. Did they say she's from Eltar?
No, she was from another dimension.
She comes from some stupid planet in Quiria or something.
Oh, okay, never mind. You're right. And then she is the sister of Divatox.
Yes. I don't think they ever say it out loud, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
that episode where they're like, "Oh, Demetria, you're not an only child like we thought you were." And I'm like, "Oh, where are we going with this?"
And then they just like shut that down.
Yeah, they didn't go anywhere with that.
shut it down.
Especially with Divatox talking like Demetria.
But we know where it was going.
Okay,
we never got the reveal. We know that they are related.
To be fair, this isn't the first time a siblings, one good, one evil.
Right.
That I can...
In Rangers? What else you got?
Anytime. I've been watching a lot of Power Rangers lately. Oh! Space! Andros is a good guy, Astronomer's a bad guy, right now.
I guess that works, but then they both become good guys. So
it's only because she's being brainwashed, but it doesn't matter because he doesn't know that. And he doesn't...
But technically speaking, even then, in Ranger history, technically this would be the first time, unless you want to count the bullshit of Tommy being cloned, and then at that point you have a good clone and a bad clone. If you cloned yourself and fucked your clone, is that actual sex or masturbation?
And once again, robots are dumb.
Yep.
Anyway, because that causes a major plot hole.
What's the next episode, Bill?
We are looking at The Gardener of Evil.
Part 2.
Well, I suppose these are...
Before we move on from Beware the Beware the Third Wish, Bulk and Skull have the coin. Know that it will grant any wish they want, but even though they have the slightest bit of doubt, they're like, I don't know if this is a real thing, but it could be a real thing. At that point, they stop themselves from wishing. They had it. And they say,
This happens in the next episode.
Yeah, that's the next episode.
This is the one with the coins. Regardless, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it carries over into the gardener. So
they actually say, we're not going to make a wish, because if we do, and this works, and they need it,
they might kill us.
Well, no, they're not worried about themselves.
No.
Bulk and Skull are a very interesting idea, because they're stupid, ignorant, angry self people.
But they will do what is right in the end.
But if you watch the show and see their development, there are parts where they get chances to show their true nature.
Yeah. Towards the end, they
knew that if they use that coin, it could screw the Rangers and the world. And even though they have things that they specifically say, when they give the coin back, they even say, so that thing would have really worked, right? And the Rangers are like, yes. It would have.
And he's like, then take it before I change my mind.
Yes, then please take it away from me because I know me and I'll use it and that's wrong.
And here's the thing.
Because literally it's in this next episode of 32 because, you know, like I said, at the very end you get the gardener who comes in, where's my trucker hat? Because they literally in the next episode they distort his voice even worse.
To be here today to do this episode because I missed the previous two. I spent four straight days at work watching Turbo at work.
Ouch!
Straight 8-hour days. Oh, except for the last day. The last day wasn't 8 hours. I didn't watch 8 hours.
Yeah, cause he pit through the whole fucking series.
I was like, okay, I gotta, I gotta
figure out what we talked about. He listened to
I listened to both episodes first, and then I'm like, fuck. All right, let's watch it. Yeah. Put it right here behind my steering wheel. And there were times where I didn't watch it because I had to get out and do stuff, but always listening.
So
I was talking to myself.
By the middle of the second episode, I was literally like,
listen,
I can't do this anymore.
Going back to Turbo as an adult, realizing that I still believe it is the worst series in Power Ranger history.
Right.
So far.
But I don't think there were episodes that were pretty decent.
Right.
There were good episodes. Okay, and I was talking to myself, I'm like, who are these monsters? Who got these voice actors? Why do you have a trucker hat? Why do you talk like Android 13? I'm like, what the hell? Why are you a redneck?
Yeah, no, trust me, I know. I did that a couple of times where I thought I heard a voice actor I knew. So I went to IMDb and double-checked.
Oh, yeah.
There's only two times I found people that I actually knew.
I know he did.
And the one I completely forgot about, and that's that the Pink Ranger has been Jill Valentine since RE5.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I forgot about that one.
I told Bill, I was just fucking with Bill. Mm-hmm. But, every time the Phantom Ranger came up, I swear to God he sounded like Adam.
Right.
I swear to God he sounded like Adam, like, but I checked and Adam didn't voice act him, but I could have sworn. I'm like, every time I heard him talk, I'm like, why do you sound like Adam?
The fucking,
you just want him to sound like Adam.
I like Adam's my second favorite fucking ranger, okay?
Yeah, because the flame tiger, when he first started speaking, I thought it was Johnny D. I was like, oh god, Bender was the flame. I was like, oh wait, no, that's not him. Okay,
listen,
fair enough.
But this second part, let's talk about, I can't remember if the arcade machine was in the first part or the second part.
It was at the very end of the previous one. So
you gotta be careful with magical wishing coins. They blow up arcade games.
Yeah, especially pinballs.
Look, it gave him the world record high score and then exploded the machine after Bulk and Skull punched it to death.
But Bill's right about Bulk and Skull. I don't like those characters that much. I honestly, because now, you know, as you get into space and stuff, they start becoming very irrelevant, in my opinion. They had some of the better character development.
Right.
Than any other person.
I think what kills me about Turbo is they, like, talk about
they took them out for half of it because they were monkeys.
And now that they're back, they can't hold on to a job. They're constantly getting shit on. Nothing ever fucking works for them.
Although towards the end, they do get one job to stick with.
We'll get to that. We're going to get to an episode where, you know, believe it or not, I don't think...
There's even an episode where the other kids laugh in their face because they just lost a job, and that actually pissed me off.
Yeah, but there's an episode where TJ, he's like, you know what? These guys could literally go to prison.
I'll be talking about that.
I think TJ, because
let's see, this is 32 we're on now, so yeah.
Yeah, it's on 32.
This is the episode that literally I had to stop to go and watch the Bumblebee Girl video.
Oh, that's what I'm going to bring up.
The Blind Melon fucking No Rain or because whatever's the song.
It's like, well, at least these things are better than the Lost Galaxy bug things.
Well, that might be true.
Because they got workable hands.
They do, they have hands.
Yeah. So they can actually help clog your toilet.
They're not stupid bee putties with no hands that all they do is eat your food, take up space in your shit, poop everywhere,
and
fucking tap things with their stingers.
Yeah, well, other than bad putty bees.
I guess they're supposed to be able to turn knobs.
At the end of that series, when we get there and they kill all the bee putties, I'm going to mention just how fucking worthless they are because they can't even put on their own suicide backpack.
Yep.
Somebody has to be there to put the suicide backpack on each bee putty.
If I can recall, Lost Galaxy wasn't that bad of a series.
No, it's not.
No, it's not, but the bee putties are.
Yeah, they are. Bee putties are so bad.
At the end of this episode is where it's like, oh, look, Justin's dad's back.
Okay, well, I counted
what?
Justin's dad is in three episodes.
And he's a piece of shit.
Yep.
He's in three?
He's a piece of shit. When he shows up, he doesn't talk about how he's been fucking downtrod or how he had to go to the hospital because of sadness or some shit. He had a job.
Yep.
Fuck is he? He could be fucking, look, he could be Secret Service guarding the fucking president and he could still have a kid.
Yep.
And he could still see that kid at night when he goes home.
They never
what is he, fucking MIB?
Apparently.
Hey, well, if he's MIB, he's fucking failing. There's aliens all over the fucking planet. He is not doing his job right.
He doesn't.
His son is doing his job better for him.
Whatever the fuck his job is, it's ridiculous. Because let's say he had to have a job. No, none of it makes fucking sense. My uncle was in operational intelligence and technology for the Air Force and was sent to a different country every single year and had two kids and a wife, and they went with him.
Listen, Bill,
this guy is fucking garbage. He was fucking Goku. He was like, I got shit to do!
Whoa, buddy. Goku is father of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently so is Tommy. Tommy was a better dad to fucking Justin than Justin's dad was.
Justin's dad was like, little bitch, I got a job. You go into the home. And then, later on, he'll get another fucking job, and all of a sudden he wants to be dad of the year, and he's like, I'm not gonna go if it means leaving my kid. Why? You already did before?
Yeah.
And if it was so fucking important that you came home, he came home because he had a job that was so fucking great that he had to leave his kid in a fucking orphanage, only to come back to say, now I got a really good fucking job right here in Angel Grove, only for 4 episodes to go by for him to say, hey, sorry, I got another job, I'm out, bitches.
Technically it was 10 episodes, because this is the
10th. But that still means he got this better job. He didn't even hold it for a fucking month, and then he was like, oh, I got a different job. Better job. This dude is climbing the ladder like a motherfucker. He must suck a mean dick wherever the fuck he works.
No, he's one of those idiots who fails up the corporate ladder.
Fails up the corporate ladder.
Wow.
Without his kid.
Hey, do you have anybody got any kids? I do. Are they here with you? No, I left him in a podunk shit town that's always getting blown up by monsters.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you're CEO now. Fucking sweet. What does that mean? That means go the fuck home and we're going to blame you for all of our problems. So I go see my kid? Yes. Congratulations.
I got a feeling he goes in for a job interview and he asks what the benefits of the job are, and they say, you make $180,000 a year and your kid goes to an orphanage. Great.
You know, let me ask you this. I watched this entire series. I can't believe it. I never finished fucking Mighty Morphin and Zeo, but I finished Turbo.
Yeah.
Something wrong with me. That's because, like I said, every bad series is good when you watch it at work. Because it's better than being at work.
Wow.
I'm telling you right now.
No, watch it at work, I promise you. If you have a choice of being at work and doing your job to get paid, or being at work and watching something, regardless of how shitty it is,
it makes it a little bit better.
For it. Yeah.
Trust me. But I never seen, you know, I know his dad was gone. Basically, I'm going to tell you this. It doesn't make sense because, like you said, his dad worked overseas, didn't take his kid. That's the only thing I can think of. He never explained that he was in an orphanage or he was living with an aunt or an uncle.
He was in an orphanage.
He was always hanging out.
In the first movie, there is a bus of kids, and he is associated with those children.
Right.
Because he lives with those children, and he's part of a charity thing that the Rangers are doing.
I wonder if, like,
to help out the home.
I'm wondering if
he's part of an orphanage.
Well, then after he became like a Power Ranger,
he's still part of the orphanage.
Yeah.
They never said he moved in with a Ranger, and if he did, the Rangers fucking bucked his ass.
Yeah, because he would have moved in with Tommy, because him and Tommy were always...
And Tommy's gone.
Yeah.
And so then TJ was like, I'm the new leader. Did I just inherit a kid?
No, it seems like the guy that ends up spending an awful lot of time with the kid is Carlos now.
Yeah. So he could have jumped from Tommy to Carlos.
But as far as I know, he was in a home.
But with his dad being back...
Now he's with his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For 10 episodes.
But next episode... Fire in your tank.
Oh yeah, the flame tiger.
Okay.
Yeah. Diva Tox first becomes a whiny little brat wanting the lightning cruiser.
I want that car. Bitch, shut up.
She wants to fly.
Bill.
Sir, I don't know why you're missing her. She's been like that since fucking the movie.
I think
there's a span of episodes here. where everything that I was able to see in Divatox slowly gets drained away. They bucked her into that fucking cliche for like a good 10 episodes.
Yeah.
And that's a shame too, because they really had something going with her.
Yeah.
I think she whines more than fucking Rita. And that
is
impressive. Absolutely not. Nope. No way in hell.
Dude, she's...
Go watch one episode.
I know how bad Rita fucking whines.
Watch one episode of Rita. Almost any episode, and the way she would scream and yell, and I got a headache, and you dunderheads, and like, this woman, at least this woman is learning something.
Yep.
She is advancing and moving forward and trying new ideas. Rita's like, fucking send some punches.
Let's remember that this woman whines a lot. Now she does. But she's the only one that ever succeeds.
Yeah, because she was actually forming strategy.
Yeah.
In fact, the one episode that you want to talk about, that's like 8 episodes.
Oh, yeah. We're
even this one right here. This one that you're on, fire in your tank.
Yeah.
She's got monsters training and stuff.
It's one thing to laugh and say she became a baby and she was, because she did. She does. But there's something in the background happening here that starts right here that you really have to stop and think about. At this point on, what does she start doing? Because this is important.
Well, now she's in space.
Right now.
Well, she's been in space.
Yeah,
she's
been in space.
Right now, she is putting monsters through training.
Yes. She's looking forward to that.
She's trying to advance. She's trying to take the monsters that are bad that she has under her command and make them better and find the ones that stand out and utilize strategies of those monsters.
Mm-hmm.
She's formulating her soldiers. The second thing she says, I want Lightning Cruiser. Now, here's a kicker, though. She doesn't. Because once they give her something like Lightning Cruiser, that's fine.
Yep.
Now, I want you to stop and really think about this.
Okay.
She started to realize something.
Okay.
Who has the best stuff?
The Rangers.
The Rangers. No. They have the best stuff, Shane. So, if I was to fight the best stuff, what would I need?
Something better.
I would need better stuff.
You need better stuff, yeah.
Or I would need the best stuff.
So you would take...
Now, what was the best thing I've done so far? I stole their stuff.
Yeah, her brother literally...
Which means I've already reverse engineered their stuff.
Yep.
But for some reason, I kind of fell back into my tactics. And then it dawned on me, why don't I just make their stuff? She'll make her own car and own Zords at this point.
Yep, she'll make it.
And slowly develop an arsenal of Ranger stuff.
I will give Divatox...
Even recruiting her own terrible, albeit, but Ranger team.
I will give Divatox credit where credit is due. When the fucking detonator, which she got super old...
That was her mother's tactic. She'd seen it work, so she was doing it. And it wasn't until she finally said, man, fuck this detonator shit.
Until
the last episode.
Yes, but that worked.
Episodes.
Yeah,
but that was a good detonator.
Yeah.
She said, you know what? I'm tired of this detonator with a timer shit. Give me a button.
Yep.
And you know what? It happened to be one of the best episodes.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, I give Divatox credit because she did evolve. I will give you that. She's like, man, they keep thwarting these detonators.
I think she's one of the only villains up to this point. In our history of Rangers so far, she's the only villain I've ever seen move somewhere. She gets better. It's a very slow and arduous fucking process, all in fault of the Ranger series. It's the Ranger series fault in general because they have to have 45 to 50 episodes. They have to follow this format. They have to be like this. And so they only get so many times and so many episodes. Like every 10 episodes, there's about 4 of them that matter.
Yep. Yeah. You have like one that is like a plot.
And it's
and then you'll have
4 that they develop Divatox. And sadly, this is true. I can't believe I never seen this. They don't develop the Rangers. This entire series has been Divatox series.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that evolves. She's the one that gets better.
Because
she's the one that gets victory.
Because of, you know, reading the behind the scenes and why, Tommy wanted to leave the show, and he was only in 19 episodes and out of 45. Mm-hmm. So bringing in a new Ranger team almost halfway through, there's not a lot of time to develop them. That's why I told you that first episode, when Cassie and them were the team, it just seemed off.
They just jumped in as if they'd already been there.
And they just became friends and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, you guys just met. And I'm sorry. You know, when I first met Bill, I wasn't best buddy.
Well, we weren't connected to the morphing grid with 100 friendships that came before us.
Because
if we'd have been all like, fucking morphing time the first day we met, the next day we'd meet up like, sup, man?
Sup, man?
And we'd just be like, blah, 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 hanging out. And whoever wasn't around would be like, how come they're friends now, like, all of a sudden? Like, did they just meet yesterday? Be like, yeah, but the guys that were before them and before them and before them were all friends until the day they died, so.
Yeah, so it's
yeah, because quite literally, I knew Jeremy for how fucking long, and it took until a fist fight up at fucking Pizza Hut for me and him to be like, yep, red till we die, friends.
Now, some notes I got here. During Bulk and Skull's new job, Bulk was reading a big bad Beetleborgs comic.
Yeah, he was. Well, those shows were happening at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Which I think is the reason why I was still watching Turbo.
What really hurt me is the fact that I wasn't here for the first two parts because I really wanted to talk about the Turtles.
Turtles aren't in this.
Huh? They're in the fourth episode. I didn't think they happened.
No, they're not.
No,
Turtles are in space.
Oh.
Yeah, they're in space.
You haven't missed the Ninja Turtles yet?
No. Guys, I'm a little ahead.
There'll be plenty of Ninja Turtle talking.
Listen, guys. I got ahead of myself. I'm on episode 17 of Space.
Nope.
I'm ahead of myself.
Nope, we're not there yet.
I have got this Power Ranger kit going.
Nope. You gotta kill it. You gotta kill it because you get too far ahead. You won't be able to speak.
I stopped. But I couldn't help it. This show ended on a cliffhanger, and even though I remember what happens, I was like, I gotta watch it. I was like, I know we're not going
to
be.
As soon as it got to be continued in next season with Power Rangers in Space, I said, good.
Yeah.
I'm fucking done with
fucking
this.
Fucking done.
Well, trust me.
I'm not coming back to this.
Trust me, guys. Just because I watched that word, it was rough.
Right.
This is a rough series. Well, like I told you, there are good episodes. There are episodes that are really good.
Did you have something else here?
Well, let's see. David Times being a whining bitch about Lightning Cruiser. Episode feel like it should have been a day or two after gaining the Lightning Cruiser because of the way they were talking about, look at how badass this Lightning Cruiser is and stuff.
Like, we've had it for weeks. Let's just now figure out what the fuck it is.
But, let's see. Bulk reading Big Bad Billboards.
To be fair, Tommy had it before the fucking universe had it.
Actually, that's the weird thing. When I compared him, if you saw the video that I put together, it's like, oh yeah, the shape does seem similar, but there are some differences, so.
Which makes you wonder where that car came from?
But,
Is that one of the original car?
No.
The one that Tommy was using.
Tommy was riding on a car to save, Justin from the bike. And if you pause it, it looks like Lightning Cruiser, but it's not quite Lightning Cruiser, but it's definitely not the Zord.
Listen.
It's just some random car. He was like, Rangers, I need this.
I know they're not very good creativity here. Like they just like that car looked cool.
I just imagine that Tommy was an awful lot like in Rush Hour 2 or whatever. Maybe it was even Rush Hour 1. I can't remember. But remember when Carter goes over to the dude on the bike and he's like, NYPD, I need this motorcycle. And he's like, no way, man. He just smacks him in the head and fucking takes the motorcycle.
Yep.
That's what I imagine Tommy did.
He
to get that
off his bike. I need it.
Yeah. He said, Rangers, I need this fucking awesome car.
If he sounded like fucking Chris Tucker, that's plus in my
book. That would be plus.
Yeah. But, Fire Monster.
Tommy Tucker.
The Fire Monster ends up making a forest fire, and...
I'm sorry, this is my... Dude, while Bulk and Skull had, I think, some of the better character development as the series went on, the dumbest fuck never changes.
Dude, they're fucking quite literally, they're like mentally retarded.
Dude, and I think
like something is wrong with them. And I get they're played for comedy. I get it.
I understand.
But our show analyzes this at an adult level and tries to retcon and explain some things. Maybe because Angel Grove is literally so bad. Mm-hmm. And it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, we're gonna get to,
I think the school system never, I think the school system never picked up on the fact that Bulk and Skull have a learning disability.
I honestly think they do.
I know that the school system is bad, because once we get to the Halloween episode, I got something major to bring up on that one.
Are you sure it's the Halloween one? Because I got something else to bring up with the high school.
Yeah.
Are we done with fire in our tank? Because this episode sucks a dick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. 34. The turn of the wretched wrench.
Why aren't we using Tommy's garage here? Oh, wait, it's the high school.
Because it's Tommy's garage.
Yeah, that's Tommy's garage.
It's Tommy's garage.
Tommy ain't there no more.
Okay.
So now we have to
That's actually a question I've been having throughout this entire series. It's fine that the Rangers turned over their powers and went on with their lives. But for Tommy, going on with his life, doesn't that mean that he's a mechanic slash racer slash car tester in Angel Grove?
Yep.
And eventually he'll become a paleontologist.
Right, but for right now, if he actually went on with his life, okay, I have a great power, that's fine, but I need to give it up, I need to fucking go on with my life, I need to get my shit together. Here, power for you, I gotta go back to Caterpillar. I gotta work. I gotta go to fucking Komatsu, I gotta go to Caterpillar, I gotta go to fucking...
McDonald's.
Fucking McDonald's. Hardee's. Fucking. I got a goddamn job. Okay? I gotta go work Mysterious Justin Dad job.
As much as I love being a Ranger, Zordon don't pay me.
Right.
Right.
Zordon don't pay me.
Is he paying me? I would be a Ranger until I couldn't do it anymore.
That's why we love talking about Rangers. This job don't fucking pay.
I gotta go do something that fucking means something, okay? That's what I gotta do. And it's fine that you could say this, alright? But let us be honest here for a minute.
Okay.
If he went on with his life, the next step of his life would be to focus on the car career.
Yeah, because that's
Justin was up that guy's butthole every single day, and now we never see him. And I realize the actor went away. Okay, that's the reality of behind the scenes. But in terms of the show, could they have not at least had Justin walk into the diner once or twice and say, "Sup, Justin?" Be like, "No, I was fixing some cars with Tommy." "Oh yeah, how's he doing?" "Oh, he's doing great." Yeah. You could have dropped some kind of background information every now and then. Look, Adam's working a variety show in Angel Grove. Never see him again. Never hear from him again.
Oh, the radio
We're not
station.
Talking about him.
Radio
the radio station has an anchor right now who's supposed to be working
on
the air right now. Never hear anything about it. But I will say, Tanya, they gave a slight indication as to what happened to her. There's one episode real quick, very quick, very quick. The people are hanging out and somebody turns on the radio. And the song that's playing is Tanya's pop song from earlier.
Yep.
So it's possible that Tanya, once she was done with Rangers and everything, called that dude and said, "I'm free. Everything I had to do, I've done. I'm now available to do this record thing." Mm-hmm. Because her song is on the air.
Yep.
You hear it. It's real quick. It's flyby. But when I heard it, I was like, wait a second. And it got about like 10 seconds into the song and I said, "Oh, that's the fucking song from Tanya's music video." Mm-hmm. So that means that she did move on. They give us some kind of background.
Yeah.
Some of these other characters.
No, once they leave the show, they're like,
"What the fuck happened?"
Once they leave the show, they're like, "Bye."
Yeah.
Yeah. The only person that we can guaranteely count is gone is didn't Kat get accepted to that ballet thing? Which is, bye, go back to fucking Europe.
Oh yeah, she would be gone.
She's in England, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's legitimate, but some of these other characters-
Rocky's probably on a corner somewhere.
Some of these other characters live in Angel Grove.
No, you mean he's still stuck on a stretcher somewhere?
No, because in the first episode of Turbo, he was fine.
Yeah, I know he was fine. Doesn't mean there wasn't another tournament and he didn't get stuck on a stretcher again.
But it's true. After episode one, they're like, "We don't give a fuck about Rocky. We don't mention him once.
Ever.
Yeah, never again.
He came in episode one just to be like, hey guys, remember me?
No.
Because I want to say he said he was doing something. I don't remember what they said, but yeah, they basically, they gave him an out as well.
They gave everybody an out.
Yeah.
It's just that guy comes up and he's like, hey guys, what's up? Look, we have children soldiers. We don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
But the monster in this show disguises himself as a taller Seth Green.
Yeah, I saw that. That kid was very much Seth Green.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know I recognize him from something.
Oh, and by the way, the little trope that we're about to give to Ashley, that she's going to be a mechanic now, and she's going to be super mechanic savvy.
Somehow she went from having no knowledge of the stuff to being a grease monkey.
Now, yes. She had some knowledge, but she kept doubting herself.
Okay, but here's the thing.
But not as much as what happened.
We talk about how the powers integrate in certain ways, and she doesn't even know why she took the car class. She literally says, why am I here?
Oh, no, she knows why she took the class. They make mention of it.
Yeah, they said it her
dad gave her a bunch of shit.
But throughout the course of her life, she was never interested in it until right now, and only after she received powers. And we don't know the history of the guys that passed down power to power to power, and we know that Billy got smarter off the powers. We've seen this stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe somewhere in the depths of her mind, knowledge has been slowly accumulating that somebody was a mechanic in the past.
It was the fact that her dad said these words. Women should not mess with cars.
And yet, she was not in the car class at the very beginning of this series.
No, she also
said her family were car mechanics too. So.
But she was not in this class at the beginning of the series.
This is kind of a random episode.
This is not something that happens overnight. You don't get shit on your entire life about you can't do this thing, can't do this thing, can't do this thing, can't do this thing, and then randomly one day decide you're gonna do this thing in the middle of the semester, somehow hop classes to a different class because daddy said you can't.
Basically,
she would have been in this class before, but something in her mind has made her want to go in this direction all of a sudden.
Basically, this, for me, I feel like this is a really random episode.
It is, and that all they wanted to do was add a character development. And they do. They make her a mechanic.
I'm all for character development if it makes sense.
I think Bulk and Skull's job during this episode would have been great for them.
Yeah, they were tow truckers. Yeah. They were driving a tow truck.
This episode is the one that pissed me off.
Why?
Because she goes up to their car. They're sitting there all sad and shit. And she says, what's up? And they're like,
if we don't get to this job in 10 minutes, we're going to be fired.
So she goes over there and she, first off, we're going to try to ignore this.
Go ahead.
It's a magic wrench, okay?
But
when you have this one wrench that is not adjustable, it is just a regular, everyday, single fucking type of wrench, it turns one kind of screw.
Yeah.
Or bolt, rather. One nut. That's it.
One sized nut.
She can fix fucking anything with that motherfucker.
Hey, listen, power, we already realize that.
Yes, the science in Power Rangers is very strange. We're just gonna leave this magic adjustable solid metal wrench.
Why must you view this plot hole?
Exactly. So, but moving on from that, after she fixes the car, she's like, there you go. And he's like, yeah, except that call came in 20 minutes ago, so we're fired.
No, it was about an hour ago.
Yeah, and what does she do? She laughs in their face. Now, after she starts laughing, the two guys kind of laugh at their own misfortune as well. But listen, just because you're in school and still have daddy and mommy's money to support your life choices, bitch, I need a job. It's not funny that I just fucking lost my job for something that wasn't my fault. It's the company's fucking fault that they didn't take care of their own fucking truck and I'm stranded on the edge of the fucking road needing to get where I'm supposed to get and the company wants me to fix their shit.
The thing about it is though is that, like you said, Bulk and Skull get picked on a lot. And I think that's why they're so weird. Because they're weird, they get picked on. And like I said, when we get to the episode, it's the first time that I truly see one of the Rangers giving a shit about him.
Yes. What else you got on this one?
Oh, that's it.
That's it. I mean, magical wrench.
Spirit of the Woods. Dog shit.
The episode starts off like a relaxation meditation video. All these trees and nature.
What do you got to say about it?
Okay, well, I know this is the episode where TJ is in the, Stone's, juice bar.
Yeah.
It's not Ernie's anymore, it's Stone's juice bar.
Yep, that's fine.
And, you know, so you're a ranger.
Sure.
You're augmented.
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm still tired.
You're in top physical human performance.
I still get tired.
You get tired.
It's 5 a.m.
I'll give you that. You know, you just because you're augmented don't mean you can't be tired and sleepy.
Okay.
He whines about how early it is and, you know, he needs his fucking juice to fucking run 5 miles.
And that's all they got in Angel Grove, man. Yeah. Leave the juice alone.
No, I'm fine, dude. If we live in Angel Grove, we all be hanging out at Stone's.
At the juice bar.
Until it becomes, you know, Ernie's detention center.
Then we don't go to detention.
Yeah.
Like Bulk and Skull.
We're all in our...
Even though they're grown-ups.
Yeah, yeah.
Bulk and Skull went to detention.
Yeah, they were in
detention. Which again,
that was my point I was going to bring up later when we got to that episode.
It does not fucking matter.
The fucking principal walks up. I thought you two graduated.
It's
the
same principal from Mighty Morphin.
Yes. Well, okay, that's his job. He'll have that job until he's like 65 and retires.
Until they either force his ass out.
If Bill was the principal at Angel Grove High, and I just happened to be there for some reason, and he comes up to me, he's like, Shane, I thought you graduated. Go to detention. I'm like, I'm 29, bitch.
Don't matter. Angel Grove school ethics, your ass goes to detention.
Yeah.
I could send the mayor to detention. Fuck you.
Because
watch me walk.
Principal, bitch.
And even then, it doesn't matter because they're too worried about vampire Carlos to go, oh, but we already did graduate, we're here for another reason, in which he would have said, oh, go to the office, get fucking hall passes, and then go do whatever the fuck you
want.
And
then go to detention.
Well, yeah, probably I'd go to detention. But literally, they walk up and they're like, no buts, no uhs, detention. Because they can't defend themselves because they're too worried about this, and the guy's like, oh, for fuck's sakes, these two idiots again.
I get it.
I could send you to detention. It don't matter how fucking old you are.
Ugh. You think I'm gonna go?
Yeah.
You think I'm gonna go?
I'll fucking
at 29 years
I'll
old,
I'll get the fucking whole monitor
if
to escort
he escorts you. Which literally the principal escorts them directly to detention. Yes.
And Bulk and Skull are the kind of people that won't just like push past him.
No.
Yeah. He grabbed them by the arms and he led them to detention and they were like,
we're 20-something years old.
Well, fuck it.
Yeah.
But I think this is the first time that the spirit of nature has shown up for a power.
Oh, what's his name?
I have a question.
I think it's the first time.
I have a question. It is, and I have a very serious question.
Hmm.
Does this kid ever come back?
No.
I don't think in this one, but we do see another nature person show up for a wild force, I think.
Yes, because those are nature, those are nature rangers, and that was where my problem was. In wild force,
but we love Wild Force.
Aren't they mentored by some sort of spirit of nature?
A woman.
She's a woman, yeah.
What happened to this kid? At the end of this episode, did he die?
He used up his powers to save him when he summoned that lightning.
Yeah.
And it basically wiped him. I mean, his physical being was wiped to a point where he became spiritual.
But towards the end, we see him run by and then transform into a little deer, I think?
I thought that was implied that deer is supposed to be him. Mm-hmm. I had that feeling as well.
I think it is implied because, we don't know the extent of this kid's power. Yes, you are the spirit.
He's some sort of deity.
You are a deity of, like, nature. That's fine. I'm okay with it. And you took the form of a child.
Keep in mind, this is a deity of nature. You understand this?
Yes.
I want you to keep something in mind.
Yeah.
I have met deities. I have met aliens, and I have battled monsters and seen intergalactic AI. And I believe in all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep that in mind.
What's really interesting about this episode, though, is that...
Other than the fact that we're talking for longer than 2 minutes on basically a PSA for... Don't litter.
It's a fucking do not litter PSA.
Okay, but I will say, the very beginning of this episode when the guys drive up in the car and the leaves blow around and the kid's all creepy and the stuff goes on the windshield saying go away, for a second, I was like, Dude, am I watching Are You Afraid of the Dark? Because that would be fucking awesome right now.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh shit, a different show.
That show too was going on during this time.
I was like, nope, fuck, I'm watching a bad show.
No, it turns into Supernatural because it's a kid that got run over.
Yeah, I don't know, I really felt
like I was watching Are You Afraid of the Dark all of a sudden.
I just feel like
although I'm just glad that after we were done, or well, at least after I was done watching this, when I woke up this morning, I was like, fuck, thank God I'm done with this. Oh yeah, right, I got Supernatural to watch, so I'm not watching a good show.
Turbo hurt his fucking back, that's what
Mike yeah, that's probably
carrying all the awful on his shoulders.
But I got something here that Diva Talk says that Seth and Shane might figure out. She says, bring me this nature boy.
Woo!
Ric Flair.
But, yeah, one
thing. She said that too, and I was at work, and I'm like, in my mind, I'm sorry. She said, bring me the nature boy, and I was like,
I don't think they're going to be able to find the right limousine.
Because he's a limousine riding.
Jet flying.
Oh,
but anyway, also during this episode, we get our favorite image to see. Justin in a trash can.
Bill loved this image so much he had to put it on Facebook, and I had to
I was watching this episode and it panned across and everybody's like trapped in garbage cans, like kind of tied up or whatever, and he's sitting in the garbage can and he literally says, "I can't get up." And I was just like, I took the remote and I paused the episode and I sat there for a second.
I know you did.
And Michelle was sitting down there and so was Gwen. They were all down there and they looked at me and they were like, what? And I was like, trash can, I can't get up. I was like, are you kidding me with this? And I was like, I cannot believe, and I was like, you know what? And I took my phone and I was like, and I immediately shared it. And all I did when I shared it to the group page was I put this. Just this.
I'm sorry.
I'm pretty sure everybody, hold on, let me grab up my phone. I'll find it on Facebook. I was about to say, I'm pretty sure there's like, what, 20-something likes on it already?
And there's all kinds of people.
Maybe a couple of
dude, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, I know.
I see, when you put that image up, I smile. I was like, That's right. It's stuck in a trash can. I'm sorry. All the other Rangers have it like by their arms. Yeah. And like this. This motherfucker's like, all he has to do is be like, I can still fight.
Got a garbage can on my ass.
This guy really fucked me up. He put it on my ass.
The last note I have.
This, just this. Oh no, I take that back. There's only six. Aw, poo.
It's fucking great.
Five thumbs ups and one laugh.
But the last note I have is, so apparently the four separate Zords can use the fire that everything moved from the rescue Megazord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, why didn't you guys try that before?
Because.
These are the LJN Rangers. Laughing, joking, numb nuts.
It was interesting that only TJ could see him.
I mean, Alpha.
Huh?
Only TJ could see him.
Yes.
Because every time, it was really funny when he was over there like, are you okay? And everyone,
they didn't see him either.
They were looking at the little child.
When he was disappearing, when he was fading.
They were looking, okay, but they showed us the point of view from the other Rangers when he was saving the kid.
They couldn't see him.
And they couldn't see him. So I think that they just...
Were they staring at them?
I think, well, they were staring at TJ. Because they show us from their, they show it from the Rangers' point of view.
Yeah, they're showing
it
like...
After the net...
Go ahead, guys.
After the net got cut down, you could see that TJ's the only guy that can see them. Mm-hmm. And they know, once again, to bring this up, I believe in spirit forest deities.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I can't see them. My friend TJ, he believes that's an entity over there in the air. So I believe it. I'm going to stand behind him. I'm going to look at him all tear up and shit.
Listen, man, to be fair.
I believe it.
To be honest with you, dude, I don't blame them. Look at what they've seen in their life.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, look at all the shit they've gone.
Are we done with this one?
No, we're done with this one. What's the next one?
36. Song of Confusion.
Confusion! 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 Oh yeah!
To be fair, I actually enjoyed this episode because of the song.
I told Bill.
The first time they played the song with the guy's voice and everything, I was like, this isn't bad.
At the Juice Bar and when they did the live concert version.
The live concert was pretty bad.
After that, I told Bill at work,
Mike, when you get to this episode, try to get this song out of your head. It ain't gonna happen because they play it throughout the entire episode. It's gonna be stuck in your head.
These are those weird enemy rangers too. I was talking about.
Yeah, this is the band, because if
Peter Cox has realized something, they have the best stuff!
And they were, each person was color coordinated.
Why?
Because they have the best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want the best stuff.
I'm gonna need it if I'm gonna become the actual queen of evil.
Right!
So with my notes, first off, Cassie doesn't sound bad singing with somebody else.
She's not an awful singer. Like that, yeah, when she was on the bus that first time she appeared, I was like, oh my god, shut up.
Yes.
But then, as...
Not as bad as Tommy's singing, though.
No. But I will tell you that this...
Holy shit!
Because we got a little bit of a backstory with her. She likes to sing. She was going to, Stone Canyon. She was going there, you know, she wanted to become a singer. And then she became a Power Ranger and that stopped. Well, this episode went back to the fact that you guys remember she liked to sing? Well, here's an episode devoted to that one.
They need to do that from time to time to sway in the fact that these characters have some kind of personality.
These characters get better in space. They also get way more character development.
We also get to see Emo Bulk and Skull during the trial.
Oh, yeah.
And this brings up another one of my points I was going to say. Wasn't Skull like a master pianist?
Yes, he is, which is why he shows up with a guitar.
Yep.
I thought he had
keyboard would have worked.
No, he has one of those new age axes that I don't fucking like.
Okay.
That's the only way I can explain it. Basically what this thing is it's a type of guitar, but it doesn't have the headpiece.
Right.
And it doesn't have any of the body.
Right, right.
It's just that one square right here and the neck.
Yep.
Okay.
And I really don't like those guitars.
Okay. You're right. If he would have played the piano, they probably would have chose him just for the fact that he could play the piano.
Because it was the previous team that knew about it. Let us remember
that oftentimes, Skull makes decisions because those decisions make Bulk happy.
Yep.
And that is his friend, and that's all they've got.
They've only got each other. You know?
So, even though he could play the piano, and he would have gotten in like that, Bulk can't sing. So instead, what we see here is maybe Skull decided, well, I think I could learn another instrument, and he can't. But even if it's ridiculous, and even if it makes him feel like an idiot to be up there in front of people playing horribly when he knows he could play better, that's his friend. And if his friend wanted to audition, well, damn it.
To be fair,
I'll do it.
To be fair, Skull could learn. Because the fact is, the piano is really difficult to learn. It takes
years.
But
not in a day.
No, not in a day.
Bulk probably decided that day, dude, we should do it.
He's like, well,
here's a guitar.
I could learn this if I had a few weeks.
And Skull said, I'm telling you, that's something about the way these guys' friendships works out. Skull was probably like, if my friend wants to do this, I'll just do it.
No matter how much your friend acts like a jackass, you're behind him 100%, even though it makes you look like a jackass.
Yeah. So I really think this is, in a way, this is an interesting, nice, extra piece of character. The fact that we know he knows piano. They don't.
Yeah,
these kids don't.
It's a new team, so they don't know.
They don't know. Like
Tommy's crew did. So.
But he would have been picked instantly if he'd walked in there and pianoed the shit out of it. But then Bulk would have got nothing.
But then again, like I said, even if he had a keyboard, it probably would have worked about the same.
But so. Bulk would have gotten nothing.
But Bulk would rather fail with his friend than succeed without his friend.
Yeah. And that says a lot about these characters.
These guys are good friends. They know how to be good friends with each other, even though Bulk is always making
fun. Which we're going to throw right out the motherfucking door in Lost Galaxy.
Yep.
Everything that we've done for these two guys, we're gonna shit all over it because Skull's gonna oversleep and they're gonna say, fuck him!
Yeah.
And, during this, we also have all five Rangers have these power swords now.
Yes.
Not just TJ.
Because.
Yep.
And, the monsters vanish into thin air and yet the Rangers can somehow follow them. by vanishing.
Because. Yep. Yes, I thought that was weird too.
Remember the whole plot hole thing you like to bring up?
Yeah.
Yep, we just ignore it.
Yep, moving on. Next episode.
Yeah, should we really spend this much time
apparently
on a plot hole?
Anyway, next one.
The accident. Oops.
Yeah.
Oh, I see blank faces. Are we moving on? No, no, for some reason I can't remember this one.
This is the one where Carlos and his best friend.
Where he's that guy fakes his fucking injury.
No, he got hurt.
He tripped on his own feet.
He did get hurt, but he fucked himself up.
And he blamed Carlos.
But he blames Carlos because once again, for anybody who doesn't follow football, aka soccer, if you can't get into dramatic acting and being a real actor, you go become a soccer player because that's all that is. You run down a field, you trip over your own feet, and you for 20 fucking minutes until that motherfucker is
still over. And then this dude is like, that slide kick is illegal, and Carlos is like, no, it's not. That's a legal move. Like, know the fucking sport you're playing. That is obviously a legal move in soccer that you can slide to get the ball out away from the guy.
As long as you don't
connect. As long as you don't make connection, yes. It is a legal move.
So the real question, most of those motherfuckers will purposely do like that dude did and trip over
and he tripped over his own feet. And
to make you think
and
that, yeah,
every, not everybody, but
and they dude, were battling, they were battling over position. And yes. I'll tell you this, this is one of those things that comes down to giving us a little more character with our people.
Right.
What do we know about Carlos? Carlos is a bit of a hothead. He loves to take the front and he loves to be acknowledged for it.
And he loves soccer.
He used to. Then he became a Green Ranger and then now he's
a consider. It is. No, it's still there. It's still there.
The competitiveness is there.
It's just muted.
But the reason that he is not being chosen, both of them have one major problem.
They even said it.
Carlos might be a bit of a team player, but he doesn't show up to practice that much, and he's still kind of a showboat.
Yep. The other guy,
which we saw, because when this game was going on and everybody else was just playing soccer, he had to break out the moves
in a
practice game.
And the other guy, while he's there all the time, he works hard, he's not much of a team player.
Yes, sir.
Well, you notice the fact that your HDMI cable's going out, so the TV keeps flickering?
Yeah. Oh, that's what I was wondering that just happened.
Oh, that actually happened to me. The other night, I had to actually switch out because mine went bad.
This is an old cord, to be fair. Yeah, I wasn't worried about it because this TV often has problems, but I fixed it.
Yeah, you smacked
but,
it.
I did.
Oh, there you go. It's doing it again.
But,
That's the cord, though.
Okay. We see a evil Zord, not one of the ones later on, but we see
Is it the horn one?
The horn one. The horn purple one that we saw in the Robos.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is exactly the started all the way back up here with fire in your tank. Rangers have the best stuff. She's now making Zord.
And this Zord almost finishes the Blue Centurion's robe,
along
with the Rescue Megazord. Almost finishes them.
Yep. And if you stop and think about that,
but
there's a reason.
But they forgot a giant metal clothespin, so,
Yes. But there is a legitimate reason for why she would be able to do this. One, we already know that these guys are not necessarily experienced Rangers. They're getting better all the time.
They are getting better.
But, let us also look at the fact that what has she already done? She already reverse engineered a Zord.
Yep.
And she reverse engineered one of the most broken Zords we have ever fucking seen.
I'm gonna tell you something.
She can make something great, and she
I like the end of this episode, and the reason why I like the end of this episode is when Elgar goes back and she's like, "You had the Rangers. Why didn't you destroy them?" And he's like, "The arm fell off. Not my fault."
No, I respect one of the things
that
she
said.
Pick
it back
there.
Up.
I respect something she said there. She said, then, you kick.
Yeah.
You do whatever, anything else. You do whatever
you
can do.
Finish them.
Yeah, you finished them.
You finish, got another arm? Kick the sword up.
She's very much like the unit leader 81 that rips off his own arm to fight the Zaku.
You know what I'm gonna tell you? Yeah. I'm gonna tell you something right now, dude. This is me.
But, then again, we can also say that that's a load of bullshit, because then later on when she was given faulty technology and spun around to the point of, "I'm gonna be sick," she ran away.
Yep. I'm gonna tell you something right now though.
But I guess it's hard to fight when your Zord doesn't work. His arm just fell off. He still had legs and another arm.
I'm gonna tell you something. I would have done this. If she would have told me, then use the other arm. You know what I'd have done? I'd have looked at her, my Zord's not ambidextrous, and walked away. Can't use a sword left-handed. This ain't Link.
And at the same time,
boot party that fucking Zord.
Kirk, stop!
You had him!
Yeah. And at the same time, her bitch ass isn't in the fucking Zord. He is.
Yeah.
Once she gets in the Zord, she realizes, oh fuck, this is life or death, and I can't see, I can't move, I'm fucking gonna die, I'm glad there's not a guy behind me who's having a fucking seizure.
Now what is that though? You know what's really cool about that? Learning.
Mm-hmm.
Learning. Shit, right now she's looking at it from the perspective of, I told you to do this, go do it.
Yep.
Now, after this, when she goes down there and does it herself and realizes how bogus it is, she's like, maybe these motherfuckers should work the next time we go down there.
Yeah.
And, sure enough, they made the motherfuckers work.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't go back down with another fucking robo until,
I love that Diva Tox learns. We've never seen this. They always do the same shit. They're always like, send down the puppies.
On this case, when don't think that gets rinsed repeated.
Send the torpedoes!
All the time.
And yeah, that's Power Rangers' fault.
Yeah.
That's the fault of Power Rangers in general. There has to be a big mecha fight every time. There has to be.
Yeah. I think the only time she doesn't do is when it's like, oh, well, you know what to do.
Yeah. And even she kind of, that's the writers taking a stab at the fact that the formula was holding them back.
Yeah.
Because they were trying things here that they just weren't allowed to do. These characters are developing. You just have to look for it.
Yeah.
But sadly, they're tagged down to this fucking formula that says you have to lose. They have to grow. Mm-hmm. You have to send down Piranatrons. This is the formula. Kids, do something, bad guy sees something, bad guy makes plan, monster attacks kids with Piranatrons, kids beat off Piranatrons, monster then fights Rangers, after monster fights Rangers, monster will grow, Rangers get robot kills monster, bad guy complains.
Right, bad guy complains, wrap up episode in a pretty bow for next time.
And do the same thing tomorrow.
Yep.
And that holds these writers back.
Unless cliffhanger, in which case, just give something quick and simple so that way then we can keep doing what we were doing.
And I loved that part in that episode where she was like, Sid, you know what? You know what to do.
Yeah.
And I love that they did that because that was the writers literally taking a shot at the network saying, you see how fucking repetitive this is?
Yep.
Our bad guy doesn't even want to say this shit anymore.
Yep.
Sorry about that. What episode are we on?
So that's something that's very interesting about this, is even the writers kind of shot at Saban about this.
Plus, not to mention the fact that so far the only episode I can think of where the monsters they don't have to worry about the monsters growing is, let's see, when the robos come down, for one. And then two, the other fun thing is, when we get to the very end, because that dude already starts off as a giant.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next one?
The dude was broken.
Fuck yeah.
Okay, Cassie's best friend.
Oh, bestiality of the episode?
Something like that.
Do we even have to talk about this? Her dog becomes a human.
I want to bring up a few things. First, when I hear her say the dog's name, I don't hear what it's actually called. I hear her call him Justin. I don't like, but I hear him call him Justin. It's like, okay, so the dog's doing a better job than your actual Justin. But no, his name is actually Jetson. So.
Yeah.
But the dog, when he gets changed, turns into a blonde naked guy. So I guess Dr. Frankenfurter would be pleased.
Yeah, he is a blonde naked guy.
Yeah.
Well, considering the fact that he's a dog, it's not like he's wearing fucking clothes.
He's a naked dog.
But still, it's
which then becomes even more fun because then when he goes from being human to dog,
Just being a naked dog somehow.
Yeah, doesn't that mean he'd have to hide in the bush somewhere and just hang out and be naked until he reverts?
Cassie's best friend. This episode sucks.
Yeah, dude, it does.
Like I said, while you were out of the room talking with your old lady. This is bestiality of the episode.
Yep.
Moving along.
Yep, moving along. But I hated this episode.
The only other thing I have is when Elgar's robo thing gets hit with a toothpaste goop, he's ready for a trip to Egypt because he's on a camel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
I kind of didn't get how that one happened. I don't know why it would, like, revert to, like, a busted-ass moped. But...
Because we are on the curveball.
This is an episode where... Baseball episode. Let me break it down real quick. This is where TJ...
Let me break it down. Japan loves baseball.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
That's actually what this is about.
Yeah,
almost, like, you'll notice this in a lot of things. Like, One Piece has a baseball... episode.
Yeah.
Like a series. I think it's actually one of the movies.
Yeah, Japan loves baseball as much as Americans love baseball.
Yep, and Samurai Shampoo.
Love it. Actually, they love it more.
That was it. Is it Samurai Shampoo or what? Shampoo?
Shampoo.
They have a baseball episode.
Yeah.
And this has baseball episode. In fact, I think this is not the first time we've seen a baseball episode.
No,
we've had others, but this one, the monster's a baseball monster. He's a pitching one. He throws a wicked curveball, which TJ has problems hitting because of this new guy came. He can't hit his curveball. Well, he saves this dude's life because this dude's an idiot and wants to race him, and they're on a cliff. Don't race on a cliff, kids. And he almost...
Don't worry, this is only the third time somebody's almost died going over a fucking cliff.
TJ saves him. To make up for the fact that TJ saved this guy, he taught him how to hit a curveball, now he can hit a curveball. Moving on, what's the next episode?
Oh, and hold on, one thing. Spin out.
Broken.
Dude, that was, I was like,
so many balls getting bounced off the spin out.
That dude was like, throwing, and they were like, fucking spun out and hit all of them.
For a second there, I thought I was actually watching like a live action Mega Man, where it was going up against like a, Knuckle Joe, or a fucking, God, what are they called? The fucking idiots with the helmets.
Well, here's a question that'll never be answered. They did that spin out. That dude threw like six balls. They got hit.
Where'd they go? They went to spin.
Did they hit other buildings? Did they fly up? Did they shoot the ground?
Some of them went back to hit the monster.
I'm going
to
promise you, when TJ hit that dude's curveball, it went to space.
Yeah.
So, look, and he's this big compared to he's this big. Yeah. So those fucking things went to another... Man, I'm telling you right now, fucking astronomer and them, I'm like, what the fuck is that? Is that baseball?
Yeah.
They're getting hit so fucking far behind. I hit Dark Spectre in the head.
Carlos and the Count.
Now we're in
Halloween.
This is the episode where Carlos gets turned into a vampire.
And we've already touched on most of the major plot points here. Moving on.
It's not a good episode.
Shane?
No. There is one major thing that I want to bring up.
But
the Rescue Megazord and the Turbo Megazord combine.
Yeah, that happened here.
It took
this lunar vampire.
Yeah.
A Halloween episode.
Yeah.
For them to combine the Zords.
Okay, so here's something.
Lunar vampire.
Why?
It never happens again, so don't view the plot hole. Moving on.
Here's something that legitimately bothers me.
Think it does it one more time.
No.
Because someone did it
again. This is something that legitimately bothers me.
What?
I believe in spirit deities.
Yes.
I fight monsters every day.
Yes.
I believe in AI sentient robots that are on intergalactic conquest.
Yes.
I have no problem believing in all supernatural aspects that I see on an everyday basis.
Yes.
Carlos got hit by a vampire.
Impossible.
You kids in your movies.
Vampires aren't real. Said by a ranger.
Vampires aren't real. You know that we're fighting aliens, right?
Every day, and monsters, and, things like vampires. God damn.
Don't worry, Bill dropped it, he should fix it.
No,
either way, we should be moving on, because I know your ass is trying to run away.
The next episode is called Little Strong Man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is the episode where fucking...
Another track and field episode.
Where Justin wants to be part of the...
You're given a choice. You're given a choice. You could be Spider-Man or Power Ranger.
Technically Ant-Man, but yes.
Spider-Man. To be fair, he didn't get Ant powers. He did. He got strength, but I mean, that's what I mean. We have if he'd have climbed a wall, I'd have been interested.
Because
and by the way...
We get introduced to the three evil Zords.
No, I would like to bring something up before we look.
Justin's still a little kid.
Justin got bit by an ant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
An ant. This was not Divatox doing.
Nope.
Nor was it any other sentient bad guy evil.
No,
it was kind of Bulk and Skull. And the ant.
But remember, Justin's as strong as of an ant. If an ant was this big.
No. No, no.
You fucking with this. Like, really though, there was an ant that just bit him. He received Spider-Man gift.
Yeah. Plot hole. We don't
So
focus
this
on
means
it.
That if the ants in that building were affected.
Yes.
Or it was just that one ant.
Don't know how it's that one ant when there was multiple ants on the counter.
Listen, Angel Grove is full of ants. I can give you superpowers. Okay?
And that means there's a whole flock of people out there right now.
Yes, they're super
with super Spider-Man powers.
Yes, so. And you know what? We don't explain it because it's a plot hole, and we just have fun with it.
I got another plot hole for you.
What's that?
How old is Justin?
I figured it out. I'm gonna give you this right now. I figured it out by how old he is now. This show came out 21 years ago.
Okay.
He's 12.
So Justin, who's a 12-year-old child.
Yes.
Kid.
Yeah.
Is trying out for high school track.
Because he's in high school.
He's enrolled
in high school.
He's a fucking kid! But because he is Blue Ranger Justin, super genius.
And
he's
you can't,
in high school.
And the high school cannot.
So the high school cannot tell him, "Hey, if you're going to our school, you cannot try out for any of our extracurriculars."
He is a student. It's just like Azumanga Daioh. There's that little girl that gets skipped up in grades, and she's on their athletic team.
They're not allowed to tell you that you can't be part
now,
of.
Now here's the thing. Here's the thing. They show us Justin's powers works differently than the other Rangers. We have received countless times that Justin is augmented with super strength.
In fact,
He has trouble throwing even the heavy ball.
Yeah. He can't put a shot put.
Why?
He fucks up with
maybe
the javelin.
It's honestly because he's not a fully developed person.
I have an exact reason why.
What was that?
Every single time we have seen Justin use his augmented powers, it's been under a moment of stress.
Yep.
Against the Piranatrons and stuff.
When he's under attack, when he's worried, when he's scared, the augments kick in. If I'm to believe that he really is so weak as a 12-year-old that he can't fucking do all this track stuff.
Right. I think
that he can't fight the Piranatrons, but he does. Yeah. And that means that the augments are only kicking in during moments of stress, meaning he is augmented, but because of his age, the powers are working differently and they're only accessing at certain points. Moments of tension. Not a big thing, but it's interesting to see that the powers work differently in different ways, such as if the power goes to a kid, the augments are definitely working differently. And there are certain monstrous properties, like we said, why doesn't Goldar say, Tyrannosaurus? That's why. Because when he was infected with ant superpowers, and he said, Turbo, it said, nah, don't do that shit.
But Carlos got bit by it and became a vampire, and he can morph.
Nope, they cured him.
Yeah,
it was a temporary cure, but he was starting to come back.
But he was cured, and he was morphed before he started reverting.
Yep.
And his powers could have been slowly digressing inside as he was turning into a vampire.
It could.
Now, this is where Divatox comes down with the winged Birdzord and starts twirling and using her lunch.
And this leads us to one thing. And now that she's experienced it for herself, she's like, maybe this shit should work before we do it.
Right.
Yeah.
And once again, our villain learns, and the next time they bring these things fucking down here...
She puts another dude in it. She puts that... what's his name?
She does,
Portal.
But they work.
Portal. Yeah, the tech guy.
Yeah but
Portal
they...
Goes in the,
but
the
they work.
Guy.
This
he's
time she actually...
Route.
But this time she gave it the development
blue guy.
Time.
The guy with the big weird...
No. He
doesn't show up.
Well, we only got four episodes left.
Yeah, next up is the shark, which is the fucking dude.
Okay, you're talking about...
Yeah,
okay.
Each time that she... After she... First she rushes it. Doesn't work. She loses a great opportunity at destroying the Rangers. The next time she goes down herself because he fucked up. Then she figures out it wasn't just him, it really was mechanical error.
Yeah.
The third time she says, make it right.
Right.
Yeah.
And just to be sure it's right, you're the guy that knows about it, you're going down there.
Yeah.
She is learning.
The next step, are we done with this episode?
Yeah.
The next episode is the Rival Rangers. This is where Ashley and Cassie fall for the same guy.
Yep.
And they,
I hated this.
This episode sucked.
I hated this. But, like, legitimate fucking hate.
It went a different direction than when I thought it was going to go.
I thought they were actually going to have a fight.
They're fake friends.
Yeah.
They're fake friends. This episode made me disbelieve their friendship. Because the second a penis came between them, they were against each other. And then, the second the penis was withdrew from in between them, then they were like, you're my best friend, until another penis comes along. The fact that they could be torn apart so fucking easily over something like a high school dance, which does happen to kids.
And I'm telling you this, what happened to me with my other friend.
This is a true to life thing. But it does put a wedge in between their friendship and make me acknowledge that they're just as flawed as any other person on the planet that is a teenager.
And I'm telling you,
they're still learning how to be people, let alone deal with that.
And this
is
exactly what I was telling you about earlier. That episode that just threw them together, they had no character development before then.
Yes.
So they are not friends. Now, I can believe her and Carlos are friends because they hung out. And I can actually believe TJ and Cassie are friends.
They're best friends by association.
Yes.
And as soon as something came up that they both wanted, all of a sudden cards were off the table.
Yep. And then they started playing jokes.
It was game time, motherfucker.
And they were playing pranks on each other and saying mean things about each other.
And they were trying to ruin each other in different ways just to get that penis.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, now for my notes. First off, during the battle of the Shark Zord, evil Shark Zord, the Rescue Megazord, actually their Megazords in general, start losing power. Even after they got out of the water, it's like, we're still losing power.
They could be wet.
Yeah.
No, but they went into the Turbo Megazord and we're like, we're still losing power.
Was there some sort of drain or something? There was something going on.
Yeah.
But trust me, this episode was not very good.
No, there was some sort of drain. There was something weird going on because isn't this the same episode where all of a sudden, like, he says something about the units giving off energy and they reverse the same trick and take the energy back?
I think so.
I don't know, but
or is that the next one where all three of them come down?
That's the next one.
Regardless, that has to be something that's going on because later they utilize the same trick to get energy back in the next episode.
Well, the next episode is one of the more
interesting. I was going to say, I'm not done with my notes yet.
Go ahead.
But,
I'll make them quick because Shane's like 20 minutes late to get the fuck out of here so do other shit.
He can go whenever he wants, to be fair.
The new guy, Bobby's date, wasn't who I was expecting. I was expecting him to go with his little sister.
I kind of had the same thought.
Yeah.
What?
Since his little sister was
so the penis that the two girls are fighting over, he has a younger sister.
That was in Ashley's dance classes.
That, like, he was going to be kind and take his younger sister because he's one of those goody-goody upstart fucking teenagers that nobody knows about.
Oh, but no, he chooses the random girl that had literally 3 seconds of screen time.
Yeah.
Yes.
But
the
last thing I got is, wow, Justin takes both Ashley and Cassie to the dance.
And we never get to see anything about that.
Yeah, thank God.
We never get to see how innocent or strange that was.
Reason why he's the best Blue Ranger. He got two chicks. What did Billy get? Okay.
Rocky.
He got old. Rocky got a broken back. Okay, so.
Rocky learned one of the coolest kicks in history.
Yep.
If only he could have stuck the landing.
Well, look, it took Ryu many years to get the helicopter back down.
The next episode is actually the one I was talking about, Parts and Parcels.
Oh, where Bulk, Skull, and TJ try to track down a package thieves.
This is the episode where Bulk and Skull are being accused of stealing and will go to jail.
And I only have one thing to talk about at this, and it's actually the very end. It's not the beginning where TJ helps them.
So TJ looks at him. And you know what, this is the one time when, yes, they made fun of Bulk and Skull, but he's like, you know, Bulk and Skull are not bad guys. They don't deserve this.
Yeah.
I'm gonna help them.
And he even says it out loud. He goes, you know, Bulk and Skull, they may be idiots, but they're not thieves.
No. Now, what you just said, when did they make fun of them?
Well, not really make fun of them, but like...
See, now hold on.
Huh?
That's important. Why is that important? At the end of this episode, Bulk and Skull believe themselves to be nothing more than the outcasts that they always were.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they go over, and against their better judgment, because they've been hounded their entire lives by 5 goody teenagers, which were dickheads.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They were shit on and bullied their entire lives by 5 perfect teenagers. And then, for the first time ever, one of these kids comes forward and helps them out.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end... Now, they've been helped out by the other dickhead teenagers before, but...
Not quite to this level.
Well, no, they had, but here's the thing. At the end of it, there was one thing that came up. He said, you know, TJ's not a bad guy. tell him he's not a bad guy. And she says, you know, it's funny. He says the same thing about you. And there's a moment for Bulk and Skull there when they realize these are not the same kids they grew up with.
No.
They're not being shit on. Life is
Bulk,
just
yeah.
kind of shitty.
Yeah, because literally she says it to Bulk, and Bulk even starts to get a little misty-eyed.
Yes.
And literally turns and, like, gives him a big-ass bear hug.
Mm-hmm.
And just fucking sits there like, oh, fuck.
He has never had that where these people are accepting these two guys because of who they are, and they see that good nature. These kids have not teased Bulk and Skull that I can remember. They have not been the bullies that I can think of even one time, the actual aggressors.
Mm-hmm.
They don't throw milkshakes on them or give them shit.
Other than the one time they point and laugh at them because, yeah, we just got fired because we're an hour late to get
yeah.
back to work.
Or tell them, sidekick, fat ass.
There's a controller for all three of the Evil Zords now.
Yep.
A weird-ass controller, but... which the
what? You've never played with the fucking NES fucking third-party LJN fucking attachment?
See, that motherfucker was the predecessor to that there... battle game on the Xbox, fucking Steel Battalion.
Uh-huh.
The thieves were the Piranatrons gathering the pieces to help build these swords along with the controller.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Blue Centurion is still cleaning up the Shark Zord from the previous episode. How many days have passed?
Well, to be fair, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Those things are taller than buildings.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If one was actually left in the city and we had to dismantle it, it would take months.
Well, he was like still dragging it after it got defeated. So it's like, if you're dragging that in the Zord, you should still be dragging it a day later.
Cleanup could take months.
Yeah, we don't know the extent
of
the damage.
That's not a joke. If you knock a parking garage down here in Peoria, it takes about a month to clean it.
Yeah.
If you knock down a Zord that's taller than a skyscraper, it could take months.
But this is another case of where the evil Zords almost destroy the Rangers.
But this is exactly what I was talking about, is whatever that trick is that they were using that was sapping strength, they somehow reversed it and took those Zord strengths.
Yep.
Okay, now on to the chase into space, part one. And two.
Yeah, part one and two. This is the final, this is the last two episodes of Turbo.
Holy shit, this was good.
This is the best story arc.
And this is something that I haven't brought it up. I've been avoiding it the entire time. We've watched Diva Tox fail over and over and over and over and over, but we've watched her learn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's one piece of information that she has never been privy to?
She doesn't know where they're at.
She doesn't know where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
That is so fucking important, because unlike other villains that we've seen in the history, here's why I respect Diva Tox. Hate her all you want, okay? We've watched Diva Tox attack the Rangers directly. We've watched Diva Tox take command and actually pilot a broken Zord, attempting to win. We've seen her fly around in the car and attempt to kill the Red Rangers single-handedly. And here, all the fucking times that this could have been over from the very beginning, when Lord Zedd very first came here and said, "You are defeated by children!" He could have said, "Fuck on this!" And he could have lightning bolted down there to their little fucking four-wheelers and said, "Buzzer, zap, zap, zap," and killed all fucking five of them.
Well, to be fair, the difference is, though, is that while she was in the submarine for most of the series, Zedd and Rita were on the moon
looking
down
right where the motherfuckers were.
In fact, she saw them the first episode when they're walking in the desert, because they're like, "Fuck being a Power Ranger." And she's like, "What's this?" All she had to do was go like, "Oh, there it is."
They always knew where the command center was, and what did they do? They did nothing. It is their fucking fault. Diva Tox is throwing a celebration over the fact that she just summoned the Big Tits Monster.
Big Tits Monster.
Yep. Old Goyle is the monster that shows up.
Yep.
That dude is awesome.
He shows up as the giant that actually destroys the two Megazords.
You know why he's awesome, though? Not just that he destroys them, but it allowed the Rangers to show off a bit.
Yep.
The Rangers get outmatched, and they say, "Hug the motherfucker and blow up."
Yep.
Fuck him.
But it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. But that is so cool that the Rangers, these kids are different. These kids are soldiers.
And they're different because they're also desperate.
Also, they have been getting better. Yeah. Pay attention to the second when they say, look, this big Zord is nothing but firepower. Blow it up and go to the broken thing. They go to the broken thing. They immediately go for the spin out when they realize the first one didn't work. And he shoots and they jump it and turn into a psycho crusher and go through him.
Yep.
Dude.
And he still laughs at him.
He gets damaged hardcore and he goes, huh.
He did, but dude, I cheered when I saw that moment. I was like, holy shit!
Because in the entire series, that spin out from the Turbo Megazord never jumped. But this guy's hardcore.
And they literally we blew up
our Turbo Rescue Megazord. It didn't scratch him. So now we're going to have to get broken. He fires at us. This has happened before.
Yes.
They got fired at
him. And they just went through it.
So they're like, you know what? This guy's a lot stronger than that guy. Push the button, Justin. Hop it.
This is experience.
And
this is the difference between knowledge and experience. These kids have been here now.
They destroy the monster while throwing the Turbo Ram Charger. I think that's the name of it.
The Ram Charger.
Into the monster's mouth
and it explodes from the inside.
Because there's got to be a weak point.
And
you might as well be the inside.
Can't get through the armor.
Your insides are a weak point.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, if I can't blow you up, I'm gonna blow up your squishy fucking parts.
Scott, let me put it to you this way. You're in a full bomb-proof fucking suit. Like, the exact same suit that the military and fucking bomb disposal uses to go clean up pipe bombs. Like, you know, let's just say real world, and sorry to offend anybody, but you're down in Texas where that one jackass was blowing up pipe bombs all over fucking Texas, right?
Okay.
They put you in a giant fucking suit. Where if the pipe bomb goes off in your face, it hurts. You get a little bit of dust in your face. Oh, well. If I take a gun, just a regular fucking 9mm pistol, and I shoot at you in this bomb suit, it ain't going to do shit. If I walk up and I put the fucking gun in your nose or right in your mouth.
Yeah, you squishy part.
What I liked is also that these kids, they did something that was surprising. And when they blew through him with the spin out, they thought it was over.
Yeah,
they didn't expect him to turn around and blast them. So they got taken by surprise.
Yeah.
But I love the fact that they reacted the way they did. And then...
But while this stuff is happening, and even when Divatox was on the moon with the monster, Eltar is under attack.
Okay, this is a huge plot hole... And all I'm gonna say again is robots are stupid. Because they're supposed to have 5 robot Turbo Rangers on Eltar. Where are they? Where the fuck are they?
That's if they're still on Eltar.
They have to be. That's where they went.
And to be fair, if they were really in dire stray, they could have just called the Aquatar Rangers.
Or they could have turned on those robots.
Yep.
Those robots can morph.
Or they could have been like, hey, Andros! You're flying around there on your little surfboard?
That's why we're just gonna leave that alone, but
the only theory I have is that's what causes some of the evil rangers later on.
Demetria and the Blue Centurion, who is the only active Zord, goes with Demetria to Eltar.
Yep. Yes.
Now this is also interesting because
Which brings us to our next point.
At the end of the episode,
Demetria, when do we attack? Oh shit, they're leaving. Huh, when do we attack?
Dude, yeah,
Zarbon give the order.
Yeah, but look, this is so important. Everybody shits on Divatox, and she deserves it, but she doesn't. Look, really think about this. What happened when Master Vile, put this in quotations, won? He had a fucking party. He had a fucking party, and he even invited the Rangers to come to his fucking I beat your ass party. Dun 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 dun. Hey, I don't fuck up.
And Rita was doing it too.
Exactly. Yep. Now stop and think about this. Divatox won something. The Megazords are down. She knows it's a matter of time before
Here's
she
the
wins.
Problem.
She's fucking partying. When Elgar comes back and says, "Hey, I found the power center," and she says, "Party's fucking over."
Yep.
Yeah.
Party's bringing the war to
them. And then when they bring the war, this is the interesting part. When they bring the war to them, when they see the Blue Centurion and Demetria leave, she's like, get them.
Yeah.
Because, and this is the interesting
part. She seized that moment, and she was going to do it. She was going to do it regardless.
She was going to do it regardless.
But then she saw those two things fly to the sky, and she knew, make a joke here, she knew that those two guys just left with a bunch of cheese sandwiches and they're going to be gone for at least 40 days. This is my opportunity. Because they can't
And when they attack the command center
And the only time in the series that detonators worked, when they blew up, he even, when Elgar came back and she's like, were they inside? He's like, I want bodies. I want fucking solid confirmation that dead people are dead.
Yep.
That is important. She is so much better as a villain than what we have seen, but she's in such a crappy series.
It's this. She, when he could not identify the bodies, she's like, we're not done. We're not partying. Yeah. Get to the rubble and find me bodies.
I love that, that she didn't go straight to the dance and then happy days.
And then some weird fucking head.
Some
like,
messenger from Submarine.
Yep. Was like,
Zordon has been captured.
Submarina or whatever. Yeah,
and then she's like, okay, great. Now this is my planet.
Zordon has been captured. Well, congratulations. I just captured the Earth. I'm not going anywhere.
Because I need to find these fucking bodies of Power Rangers before I know my job is done.
And she was like, Dark Spectre wants you. And she's like,
she had won. Had Dark Spectre not fucking come around the corner with you.
Hey, bitch, get back here.
She won. Because
they lost their power.
The Rangers were in a form of shutdown stasis. Yep. Their powers were dissolving by the second. The suits were still there. They took the blunt of the explosion. The helmets were ripped off. The suits were torn to shit. And they were living off the residuals of that power.
After
everybody leaves and everybody comes out, suits go bye-bye.
Yeah, Zach.
And she wasn't gonna leave. She would have stayed there until the fucking sun.
And their powers would have evaporated.
And she would have found them. She would have found them because there would have been giant gleams of red and blue and yellow. She said, what is that? Kill children.
Yep. Kill children.
Start throwing bombs.
But with Divatox and her forces off the planet now, the Rangers are at a loss. They, like, we have no powers. What do we do? And they're like, we need to go after Zordon. We need to follow him.
No. At first they were like, we have to make sure Divatox doesn't come back.
Yeah, there's three.
There was an argument between them, which is important. These Rangers, no Rangers to this point, but these Rangers specifically have never been without somebody telling them what to do. They've never been without the commanding officer that says, go do this now because I say go do this.
Yeah.
They have never had to make a decision. Now the decision comes down on them and there's a problem here. I said this before. TJ is not a good leader.
Yeah.
He's a cool leader. And that's a problem. And the other Rangers know that. Because they know that he just says, we're gonna do this thing! And if he fucking falls, they're falling with him. Yep. So you just gotta get lucky to think that he always made the right choice. Well, at this moment, when TJ is now the leader, the single leader, they don't agree with him.
Yeah.
Because when he makes a decision, they're like, we've seen how your decisions turn out, now there's nobody to back you up.
Which is why, like I said, there's three points to bring up here. The first, Carlos immediately reverts back to old ways. Fuck this. Divatox needs to die now. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
First fucking smart thing to come
He's
out of
this. He's going for the goal.
Yeah.
He's going for the
He's
goal.
Out. Second, we've said for years, they're augmented due to the powers. They no longer have any powers. How the fuck does Justin get on top of a fucking Skyway to fucking Metal Gear Solid Snake his ass into this fucking science center? The fucking NASA...
NASTAR.
Because it's NASA with like eight other letters behind it because it's not really NASA.
NASADA.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he just kind of went in, because you see him at the checkout station, the check station.
He sneaks alongside the car,
which I get.
Which, there's a reason I believe that, because if you've ever been in a store like I have, and you turn around to look at a cool shirt, and then you turn back around and your kid is gone, that literally happens.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because Gwen scared the shit out of me one day when I was in Walmart, and all I did was I stopped. She was right here at my leg. I took a coat off the rack and turned back around, and she was gone because she had seen that she can get into the racks, and she went into the middle of the racks and was hiding, and it was fun.
Yep.
And children are just small enough and inconspicuous enough to lose easily. Yeah, that is frightening.
Yeah.
And it's believable that kid, because the soldier, it's an unassuming, stupid-ass child. Was the soldier intelligent? Yeah, he was like, no, you're not fucking getting in here. Then he turned around to do his job, and the kid vanished.
Mm-hmm.
And He did call it in because the other soldiers in the base are definitely looking for the kid,
yeah.
But I believe that he could lose that child.
Yeah. Well, like I said, then all of a sudden, like, oh, here's another outpost where cars are pulling up and scientists in white coats are getting out to go inside. All of a sudden, the only thing I can assume is he climbed a fucking tree and jumped up on there because he has no power.
He has no power. Right. It's one of those things.
All of a sudden, he's just up there, and it's like,
He could have went through the building. I don't know how he would have, and they didn't show it to us for a reason.
Right. But that's what I mean. Like, literally, they're all still outside. Cameras are outside. Cars are parked underneath of this
building. I also like how their clothes are all screwed up.
He's on top of the awning. I'm like,
yeah.
You could tell that not all of that energy in the explosion was absorbed by the costume because they're fucked up.
And now, part number three, I need to talk to the general.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah, but it's about the Power Rangers. Hold on.
Yeah, what?
What's this about the Power Rangers?
And he was
need a shuttle. Shut up, you two motherfuckers. And he leans in and Justin goes,
that's
and he
because
stands up. Eltar, I was like,
yeah,
who the fuck
because
is
because from what I understand, and what I've
What did I miss in that 15 episode?
I don't think it's actually
what exactly did he whisper in his ear?
I don't think it's explained until space, but Zordon was giving them the technology for spacefaring.
Which is that power converter thing that they grabbed from the rubble.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what was going on was Eltar was in communication with Nasada in case something ever came up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a couple of guys in the top brass.
But apparently one of them was here at the time. So.
Which makes sense though. Because
right.
you don't have 800 guys walking around with the nuclear codes.
Right.
You have like two.
Yeah.
The nuclear arsenal is in the codes are in the football.
Yep. And there's only
no. That's what it's called.
Laugh, that's what it's called. The president flies on Air Force One. The president is accompanied by five people guaranteed. He gets a chef. He gets a dude to do his hair. He has two guards, which two guards contain. One holds one key. The other guy holds another key. And a fourth guy holds a briefcase referred to as the football, which
and he doesn't hold it.
Handcuffed to his wrist.
And okay. No, he cannot uncuff it.
Yeah.
On his own. It has to be uncuffed by a separate person.
Yeah.
That
and
way.
To another guy.
That way he literally
which
cannot
normal,
let it go.
Normal handcuffs, I don't care if you're into kinky bondage or you get arrested by the cops, normal handcuffs use the same key. Not this handcuff.
Yes, it's a special key. From what I understand, you would literally have to it's easier to take his hand off than it is
yeah.
to take the briefcase from the cuff.
Oh, yeah.
But Justin stays behind. Good riddance.
In a way, but at the
yeah.
same time, I did feel a little bit of something, but it wasn't because of Justin. It was because of them. They
yeah.
put, you know, there's a lot of bad acting in Rangers, but I have to give it to it. This last episode, it felt tensioned.
Yeah.
Like, it felt tensioned, it felt sad, it felt scary. Like, dude, that fight inside of the command center
oh,
is
yeah.
one of the greatest moments. I'm willing to say.
Not just inside, but outside the command center.
I'm willing to say
yeah.
that this two-part episode is in the top 10 greatest episodes ever filmed on Rangers, period.
Yeah. Which, like I said, that's the reason why I remembered this as soon as I got to it. The rest of it?
Dude, when they were blowing shit up and kicking out the lights and tipping over the control panels and everything was going crazy and they were fighting in the background, the lights
yeah.
were flickering off and on and the skylights were blowing in and the building was coming down.
When
like,
speaking of which, anybody else think that, one of the Piranatrons was, there was a young Hugh Jackman inside of there?
Why?
Because one of the Piranatrons dives over the console and
I
does
see
the
that.
Wolverine
I
die.
See that. He was like, ah!
And it hits for once.
It did. It hit for once. You
probably
got it.
Because he didn't have actual claws.
Yeah, no shit. Has been
so the censored
problem.
Allowed it.
Yep.
Now, I know this will probably start dipping into the next one, which I don't know why, if I should bring it up or not, but Alpha's still talking. I thought
yeah.
in the start of the next series,
he won't be able to talk
yeah.
for
yeah.
reasons, and we'll definitely be talking about that when we
yeah.
get there. Because, yeah, I do remember that.
And by the way, more proof that Alpha has to hide the Sinister around him. As soon as he starts getting jumped by Piranatrons, he says, nope, fuck on you, and damn near kills, like, two of them before he realizes, oh fuck, there's racers around
speaking
me.
Of what,
oh god,
he literally
throws his hands up being like,
yeah, the command center's gone.
No, he took out,
those guys are free now, aren't they?
Yeah, but he took, that's a true statement. It's very subtle, but it is kind of funny that it plays into our sinister joke that Alpha, when he thought he wasn't being watched, he took out two piranhas by himself.
Yeah.
He was like, bitch, bitch. And then all of a sudden Rangers were around him and he was like, oh no.
Andrew Robinson.
Save me.
Yeah.
And I was like, you didn't need help a couple seconds ago. Uh-huh. I watched you take those dudes out by yourself.
Exactly.
I'm Jersey Alpha. I know how to defend myself.
Yeah, that was...
No,
that was,
you know how to sinister like a motherfucker. That's what you know to do.
It's full of bullshit. You
know, also because the ending, we get no bloopers because it's just set on the rocket taking off.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I was waiting for all the bloopers, but I mean, I did catch like a couple things that were shit that should not be, but.
Dude, that episode is fucking magnificent. So shocking for the kind of show it is.
Yeah.
So fucking good.
With the explosion, I was expecting maybe like a limb to be missing from one of the Rangers. Oh.
Yeah, right, but I knew that. I knew they couldn't go that far.
I know, but
it sure would have been neat to give one of them an injury. In fact, if you were willing to take, if one of them was ready to step out of the show, that would have been the moment to do it. Like, if somebody didn't want to go to space, that would have been the moment to do it, is say they got injured during the explosion.
Yeah.
And they had to stay behind.
Because, yeah, like, quite literally, like I said, there's only, like, two things that they should have reshot. At least two. The first was, like, one of the extras as they were trying to climb up, you know, the Brontotrons were trying to, quote, climb the mountain. One of them slipped and slid like halfway back down, and I was like, fucking really?
Yes, he did.
And then the other one is, if you pay close enough attention, you could kind of see the dudes that, like, have the seats way the fuck back as they're trying to, like, put the cars in reverse and not run anybody over and then slam on brakes and put them in drive and go a little bit. And, like, you can kind of see hair and a head bobble every now and again, but that's about it.
Head and a head bobble.
Yep. I think that's it.
So that covers the whole series now.
So here it is.
Congratulations.
This is gonna be...
The rating time.
Is gonna be interesting.
Which is especially gonna be fun because Shane had to dip out like 10 minutes ago.
Okay, so...
he's no longer here to rate.
Where are you?
Fuck.
Oh boy.
Dude.
Look, the last two episodes were fucking amazing. But that doesn't make up for the fact that most of the rest of this is standard Ranger, so most of it is filler. But most of that filler is like,
almost unwatchable.
Yes. Quite literally, the only thing that allowed me to get through most of this is not a joke. I picked up my fucking 3DS.
Yeah.
And I played Pokemon Yellow, got up to the stupid fucking cave on the Indigo Plateau, and I said, I'm not dealing with this right now. I'm completely out of fucking repels. I'm tired of dealing with all these stupid little fucking gravelers and shit like that and random ass Onixes and Zubats. I'm gonna stop this, and I switched over to fucking Donkey Kong for the Game Boy, and I made it all the way up to like World 4. So that's the only thing that saved me on these from not like pulling out my scrotum hairs with tweezers, like you said earlier.
Damn right. Dude, it's
like,
this is the stuff that worked in this series
works
really well. And the episodes that stand out are fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The other episodes are so fucking bad.
Yeah.
And here's the real kicker though. 80% of the really interesting conversation that I can pull from the series is from shitty episodes.
Yeah.
So the episode does not get a pass for giving me something to talk about. Sure, I found really interesting things that I could point out, and I found a lot of fan theories and a lot of stuff that I can try to defend
Democrats. That's how we were able to talk 10 minutes on a PSA about don't litter in the woods.
Oh, wait.
But that
episode sucks!
Yeah.
That was something Shane was going to bring up about your Billy theory.
What?
Yeah, Shane said that he was going to bring up something with your Billy theory, but now he's gone. He can't.
No, he was messing with me.
Yeah,
he said he can't disprove that.
But, because he gave him a bunch of shit about it. He was like, really? Really? How are you going to disprove me? And Shane was like, technically, I can't. Other than the voice actor sounds like Adam, but I'm
that's what he said.
I can't. I was like, yeah, exactly.
Yes. It needs a rating.
My rating is rhino shit.
Shards of rhino shit.
Like, it's kind of where the tail goes across the
Don't stop giving me shit to add on to this.
That's an old reference. That's what that is. Gotta go back and watch 50 Shades of Norman Bates review. fuck. You know what? It is at standard Rangers, so I mean, the episodes that stand out, stand out. The filler is boring dog shit that I would say skip.
God.
But, it's not quite on par with where it should be. 2.7.
Where are you at?
Okay, now I mostly agree, except for the bullshit filler episodes, there are some plot points throughout them, which are important, but not as much as the full episodes that have major plot points overall. So...
Well, that's what I was saying. Again, I found a lot to talk about in the episodes that don't matter.
Yeah.
But just because I had a lot of conversational pieces doesn't mean the episodes are watchable for anybody. Let's see, because here's why we're rating. We're rating because somebody else is going to maybe see this series depending on what we say here today. Yeah. And while I could point out a lot of cool stuff that the average person would not have seen, because the average person watches Power Rangers like this. Monsters. Fighting. Kids. Saved by the Bell. Kaiju. Done. That's pretty good. They had swords and shit.
Yeah.
It's done. It's done. They move on. But we don't do that. We talk about what was going on. Sometimes we get behind the scenes. Sometimes we talk about things we saw, reused equipment, and all kinds of shit like that. We make
all
jokes.
All the multiple times where you could catch different errors within the editing. We're like the fucking in the final battle where the Megazord is walking forward and getting shot at. And then next thing you know, it's holding a sword, standing back
here. It just had the
gun. And then
guns.
It's walking forward again.
I saw it. It's just like guns. Nope.
a lot of the stuff we weren't really seeing the first time when
forward.
We saw this stuff too.
Right. So,
but for me, it's like with all
or where it gets thrown through a mountain and then they rewind the footage, so when the mountain comes back.
Oh, I was dude. I like, saw that and I literally went. What?
But once again, with this set of episodes, it's like, okay, once again, there's only like a few important ones. So overall, there's been like only maybe two handfuls of good, important episodes total.
Maybe 12.
Yeah.
But
I wouldn't be able to remember off the top of my head right now going through the list, but I'll bet you maybe there's, in terms of standouts.
I would say maybe 16 that actually matter. Because even some of the filler shows, like spots where like Divatox is learning.
Well, here's the thing. But here's what sucks. Here's what gives this show an unfair advantage. The original teens, we knew them.
Right.
So when they did a filler episode with the original teens, it was filler as shit.
Right.
It meant nothing.
Yeah.
Every time they do a filler episode with these kids, we don't know them. So they get away with doing dumb shit like, she's a mechanic now.
Right.
Well, that gave her a character element that she didn't have. But that episode in general is garbage and serves no purpose except for, hey, look, character stuff. Which we need because we had none of it, but that's the only reason the filler gets a pass.
Seeing as it's going to take me 20 minutes to go downstairs to smoke, I'm going to go now.
Yeah. Especially getting past Balto.
Right.
But I'm giving the series... a 3.3.
And I settled on a 3.5. So, this is a 3.2 series. It's incredibly average. The episodes that were magnificent helped it from falling down to the twos. And that's about all I can say about it. So, the cars are broke down.
Hey guys, did you like that podcast? If so, remember to check out FandomNight.com. At FandomNight.com, you can drop a line to this show, or you could check out other podcasts as well. We cover all kinds of topics, everything from comic books, wrestling, movies, TV shows, video games, animes, mangas. It's outrageous. We seem to have a podcast for just about everything, and you have access to it just by going over to FandomNight.com. So, Check it out, guys. We're going to get out of here.